for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 4th, 2004. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Diane Stone of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
I'm not much speaking usually to a mixed group. I usually speak to women. But I have my husband here, and he covers me, so if he would please come up and pray for me before I get started.
Heavenly Father, we just bring Diane before you right now. Lord, we cover her with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we just take the authority over every evil spirit right now. We cut them off. We cut their assignment off right now in the name of Jesus. We bind them. We command them to be null and void, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for my wife. And I take the authority in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What initiated this teaching is that I teach school, and my job is I teach remedial math, and so I go into other teachers' classrooms and help them with children that are slow learners, and I help these children, and I help the teachers to teach. And one day, a couple years ago, when I went into this one teacher's classroom, she was saying such sharp things that it hurt my ears. And the children were crying, and I ended up with an ear infection. And so I started asking the Lord, I said, God, what is happening here? And so he began to show me spirits that control the tongue. And that's what I would like to talk about this afternoon. And then he showed me in my own life where I had to adjust and get prayer myself for these spirits to be free to speak the things that God desired me to speak, and not mean and hateful things that I was speaking. My husband tends to say from time to time, and I hope I don't do it now. He kids me about it, but he used to say I used to nip at his ears a lot, and he was right. I did. I had some real sharp words I used to say, and so maybe some of you can relate to this in your life or your spouse's life, and I hope that I can shed some light on it in the Scripture, and God will help us all. So if you will turn to James chapter 3, I'm going to start here. And verse 2, we're all familiar with this verse. It says, for in many things we offend all. We offend each other all the time. And we shouldn't do this. It says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know, we think of ourselves, so many of us, that, you know, we're pretty mature Christians. We've been saved 30 years or 20 years, and you know, we've walked with the Lord a long time, and you know, I've heard of a certain time, well, they're just a new Christian, they're just a little baby, you know. Just like what you're saying is that I'm such a mature Christian, you know. Well, I wonder sometime if we are so mature like we think we are. It says right here, it says, if any man offend not in word. You see, we shouldn't be offending in the words that we say toward people. It says, then the same is a perfect man, mature, full grown, full of integrity and virtue. And I'm wondering if we are that, or if we've ever thought about that very much when we say, well, he's just a babe, you know, I've got it all here, you know. Are you not offending people? Is your words perfect and pure that come out of your mouth all the time? Are we as mature as we think we are? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You see, even though a ship goes in a storm that has mighty, mighty waves, You know, it's rough out there at sea, but that little rudder just guides it, and it keeps it out of trouble. Well, our mouth is the same way. You know, we have trials and tribulations every day in our life, and how do we deal with these things? What do we speak? Are we speaking the things that God would have us to speak in the midst of these trials and these tribulations, or are we letting the person that's coming against us have it with all full barrel? You know what I'm saying? How are we handling this with our mouth? Our mouth is a very powerful thing. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. You know, you can say, well, I'm the pastor of that church. I'm the Sunday school teacher. I'm the deacon. You know, we boast sometimes about the things we do in God. And it says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And what this is saying, the word matter means forest, and kindleth means to light up. How big a forest are we lighting up with the words that we say? Are we lighting it up by saying sharp and mean things and hateful things to situations in our life? Are we lighting it up for the glory of God to shine through our lives? Are we speaking forth and lighting the fire that God wants us to light up with our words? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Iniquity meaning injustice and wrong. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now the word defileth there means spot. And this little tongue can have spots and blemishes on it. And Christ says that he is waiting to come for a church that has no spot and no blemish. Are we speaking spots? Is our tongue defiled? You know, God spoke the world into existence. Powerful. And he's going to speak the world out of existence. That's how powerful our words are. And it said, it setteth on fire the course of nature. What is nature? Nature is the source, the origin of one's lineage. We're going to set on fire our children. We're going to set them on fire. Are we going to set them on fire for God? Are we going to set them on fire and burn their pants? You know what I'm saying? Are we going to scorch them? Because we can do that too. It says, and it set on fire, which means to operate destructively of hell. You know, every day in the classroom, I deal with children that come to school. Sometimes they're so upset and so hurt. We started school just a few days ago, and I had one little boy, a classroom, I went in, he cried for 2 days. And, you know, his home life isn't that great. And the only safety that he feels is with us in the school. And I know you hear a lot of bad things about schools, but in our school, we have a lot of Christian teachers. And if it weren't for them, some of these little children would never feel safe. And we've got the little boy now, after a couple of weeks, smiling and wanting to work and asking for help. But see, he's being scorched at home by the tongue. And it says here, it says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we're going to find out, you know, and I hope to show you what are the spirits that are behind the tongue and what lies underneath the tongue that are causing all these poisonous things to come out. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Some of us as Christians are saying cuss words, guys. We're saying bitter things. We're saying things that should not even come out of our mouth. That is a spot. That is a blemish. And we need to stop it. We need to say the things that God says, because God moves mountains in people's lives. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now notice, it doesn't say death and life are in the tongue. It says in the power of the tongue. It's the power behind the tongue that will either move mountains or rip someone apart. You know, my husband and I have prayed for many people that even when they were in the womb, they were crushed and damaged by the power of the words of their parents. You know, sometimes when a woman comes home and she tells her husband that she's going to have a baby, the husband isn't sometimes real thrilled over it. And sometimes maybe because they don't have enough money and he doesn't know how he's going to provide, or maybe he didn't want children or different things. And you see, these babies, they can hear in the womb. They hear what you're saying. And it's powerful. And we have a daughter right now that's going to have a baby in March. And she called me and she told me, and she says, I want to be real careful what we say, because the baby can hear it. And so, you know, we're praying over the baby. We're breaking curses, bloodline curses, and different things that need to be prayed. But we're speaking blessings over that child. We're speaking hope. We're speaking God. We're speaking Jesus. And I want you to look at Luke 1. This is a good example of it. Luke 1 and somewhere around verse 14, it talks about the birth of John the Baptist. And the angel came and was talking to Zechariah, and this is what was said, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. That's what the angel said. She was speaking great things about John the Baptist before he was ever born. That's what God does. He expects good things in our lives. He expects us to have good things. And it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And you remember last night, Monty Mulkey told you that people that are going to be in position in the Lord, that they never drink the strong drink or the wine. And John Baptist was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And so he didn't do these things. And it said, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elisha, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, do we say that? Do we say that when we hear that we're going to have a child or a grandchild? Do we say, this child's going to do great and mighty things for God, and he's going to do this and that? And, you know, these people spoke blessings. God speaks blessings over us. But now look at old Zechariah here. He said, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife, well, strucken in years. Now he says, hey, I'm old, my wife's old. There's no way we're going to have a baby. You know, the doubt right there. You know, he didn't say, glory to God, I'm going to have a son, and he's going to do these great things. He didn't say that. So what happens? The angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of the Lord, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. She says, you can't speak good things over this child that God has in mind for him to do good things, so you're just not going to be able to talk at all. And she shut him up. And it said, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He couldn't tell the children, hey, I'm old, my wife's old, and man, they say I'm going to have a baby, but I don't think so. He couldn't say. They shut him up. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of the ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now look at this. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And what did she do? She hid herself for 5 months. Why did she hide herself? Because she didn't want any negative talk or speaking or anything to come and harm this child. He had a calling on his life. And it says, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from the Lord into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And what happens now? The angel goes to Mary. And the angel Gabriel tells Mary, you're going to have a son too. You're going to have a son. This is Jesus. And you see the difference in the women here. For once, the women didn't mouth off. We're really good at it usually, but we didn't hear. And Mary goes to Elizabeth, and she says, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6 months with her, who was called barren. That's what the angel tells Mary. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. And we talked about that in the women's meeting. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's where you are now and where you're going. That's what's important. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That baby heard it too. That baby leaped because that baby could hear what was being said. And here's what they spoke. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Glory to God. I'm going to have this baby, and he's blessed, and he's going to do great things from God, and there's no holding him back. And so when John the Baptist was born, there was no way that he wasn't going to do great things. The blessings were spoke over him in the womb. The father couldn't do it, so God shut him up. You know, we say things to each other like, I wish you were dead. I wish you were never born. I hate you. You are so stupid, any idiot could figure that out. What's wrong with you? You're such a jerk. No, we hear more things like that instead of stuff like, I'm glad you're my husband, Tom. I am so blessed that you're my friend, James. I'm so blessed that I know all you guys. I love you. We tell our children, no, we should say to them, you're very talented. And my grandchildren, when they come over with their work at the end of the week, I say, hey, you did a great job there. You might need a little work on this area, but that's a great paper there. They always said the Jewish people, when they sent their children off to school, they would always say, do you have your book? And we always say, do you have your lunch? You know, what is important to you is what you're going to speak out. You say things like, you can do anything you put your mind to. I'm so glad I met you. You really know what you're doing, and you're such a blessing to me. And you know, these words are so foreign to us that when we first say them, we think, oh, man, that's going to sound silly. But we need to be able to say these things. And the spirits that are within us that are keeping us from that, we need deliverance from them. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 30. Verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. So remember, you can either speak life or you can speak death. Blessing or cursing. You can either speak blessings or you can speak cursings all the way from the womb. You can speak those great things over your children or you can say mean, cruel things. And some of us in here have had mean, cruel things prayed over us and spoke over us, even from in the womb, that need to be prayed off and you need to be set free from them. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What you say not only affects you, but it affects your generations to come. You set into motion. Remember it said, you set into motion to set that forest on fire for generations to come. Okay, Matthew 12, 34. In Matthew 12, 34 says, now this was Jesus talking, and he was talking to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and sometimes they were even talking to the scribes. There were three religious groups. But the thing of it is, he was talking to the religious leaders, and he called them vipers. He said, oh, generation of vipers. Yeah, a bunch of snakes. And it said, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You always give yourself away by what you say. You know, you can say your heart is full of God and all this stuff, but once you open that mouth, whatever's in there is going to come out. If it's good and if it's pure things, it's going to come out. If there's evil and corrupt things, it's going to come out. It's going to strike at people. Well, I looked up and I asked the Lord, I said, what is a viper? And the dictionary said, characterized by a pair of hollow fangs that can be erected for biting and injuring venom. He said it's a malignant and spiteful person. They were out to get Jesus. Malignant meant inclined to cause harm, suffering, or distress, very dangerous or harmful in influence or effect, tending to produce death. They were cunning. That means they were skilled, employed in the shrewd or sly manner, as in deceiving, craftiness, guile. In other words, they would find something out for one person, and then they would go inform someone else about it. They were vicious. They were cunning. These vipers, he called them vipers. He didn't just call them vipers once. They were called vipers four times in the New Testament. He called them vipers again in Matthew 23:33. And John the Baptist called the Sadducees and Pharisees vipers in Matthew 3:7 and in Luke 3:7. Their words. He knew they were vipers by their words. It said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. They were spitting poison at people. Look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And remember, Monty Mulkey again, he talked about understanding and how that word meant discerning. They didn't discern the things of God. They are all gone out of the way. In other words, they all turned aside. And it says, they are together become unprofitable. They were of no service to God. They turned out of the way. They were of no service to God. Why? Because of their character. That's why. You know, you can know all the Word of God. You can have it all inside of you. You can quote it. But if you don't walk it, it's no good. And my dad always told me as I was growing up, he said, actions speak louder than words. And it does. You've got to walk it out. People have to see that you have good character. They have to see that you have integrity. And it says they were unprofitable. So they didn't have this. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, their throat, it's this right here, is an open sepulchre. How can your throat be an open sepulchre? A sepulchre is a grave. It says, with their tongues they have used deceit. That means they have spoken things that have injured people, hurtful things. And it says, the poison of the asp is under the lips. What I'm here to tell you today, that the power behind the tongue is a bunch of snakes that live beneath our tongue and under our lips. And we give them a right to enter in. And I'm going to show you how they enter in. But those asps are under our lips. And when we speak, the poison of those asps and vipers spit out. And they say sharp and terrible things. And I looked up the word asp, and it says a small and serpent, a poisonous serpent, the bite of which is fatal, and unless the bitten part be immediately cut away, you will die. Spitting out those words, attacking people with your tongue. And it's the asp that are behind it. The poison, it says, to address or speak in an abusive language. There's people every day in their homes, and some of you may be there, that are cussed out all the time, that things are said to you that are not good. These are asps that are underneath the lips of what I'm telling you. They are not, the person is not, their mouth is not being controlled by God. Their mouth, it's in the power of the tongue, and the power is coming from Satan himself, which are the snakes, which are the asps, and which are the vipers, and some other things we're going to talk about. Now, it says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Do you have a problem saying bad words, cursing? Then you have got a nest full of asps and adders and cockatrice spirits under your tongue. And God needs to deliver you from that. Turn to Job 20, verses 12 through 16. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue. Flattery. Sweet, gooey flattery. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in the love of the Lord to a friend. I'm talking about, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you, sister. And all inside you're thinking, I don't like that person. I wish they would go somewhere else. Flattery. I'm in Job 20, verse 12. And God warns us against this. He warns us against people that flatter us, to beware. What's hidden under that tongue? Asps, adders, vipers, cockatrice. Though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth. And there's a lot of manifestations, like if you see someone's mouth and they just, they're just biting down. Man, they're trying so hard not to say something. Oh, man, I just had to bite my lip. I didn't want to say that. You've heard people say that, I just bit my lip. Are you seeing people, their jaws just bite my tongue? People, they might go like, all these things are these spirits in here. These are things that we've never been taught or talked about. But the world knows it. They say, oh, I just bit my, I had to bite my lip on that. Yet his meat in his bowels is turned, and it is guile of asp within him. This thing can churn so hard in you that it's going to affect your gallbladder. I looked up that word gall, and in the Greek it meant gallbladder. Well, I can tell you now I lost my gallbladder because of this. It's gone. And that's not good. You don't have to lose yours. Cast the asp out from under your mouth. Get the bitterness out of your heart. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. He that swalloweth down riches, and riches means forces, and he shall vomit them up again. God has cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asp. The viper's tongue shall slay him. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. And it'll kill and it will destroy other people. It's a vicious thing. Our tongue is vicious. Turn to Psalms 140. Psalms 140, 1 through 3. Deliver me, O God, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, from the cruel man, which imagine mischief in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They are sharpened with their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. See these terms, adders and asp and cockatrice and serpents and vipers, they're all interchangeable in the Greek. And they're under our lips and they're striking at people. They're hurting people. They're injuring people. Now, an adder, dictionary says, an adder, they have thick bodies and long fangs. There's puff adders, puffed up. There's death adders. The tongue will kill you. It says life and death are in the tongue. There's blowing adders. Oh, he's just blowing off. You've heard that. So why don't the Christians realize it? The world does. They hiss. They spit. You've heard people talk and spit. They're crafty. A serpent is a snake, a crafty, cunning, traitor, untrustworthy, spiteful person, lying in ambush. Isaiah 59, 1 through 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None called for justice, none any pleaded with truth, for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They bring forth sorrow, in other words. Now, here's your cockatrice. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Now, a cockatrice is a mythical thing, just like a unicorn. We have the unicorn in the Bible. A cockatrice is said to be from a rooster's egg that hatches by a serpent or a toad. It has a head and wings and feet of a bird, and the tail of a serpent. It has a poison and deadly look. You've seen someone look like, I can't do it. You know, they just look at you like a, you know, that mean look. It says it has looks that will kill. And it says it has a breath that will kill a shrub. So I don't know. Maybe if we have bad breath, we might not have to think about it. Seriously. Because, see, garbage is coming out of our mouth. Nasty, horrible things. Could be cockatrice spirits in there. The nest needs to be broken, crushed. Proverbs 30, 28. Now, sometimes we can't see these things because our mind is full of spider webs. Proverbs 30, 28, it says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Where is the king? Where is the king's palaces? We are the king's palaces. We are the temple of God. And sometimes our minds are so tied up in spider webs and so deceived that we can't see these things until God shines light on it. And that's what we're doing today. These spiders catch hold of you, but the spider webs, and the web is so weak that we have to pull the spider out of our minds and destroy that spider web so that we can see our own self and how we need to get the spots and the blemishes out of our own life. It's real easy to look at someone else and try to get those spots and blemishes off of them, but that's not where it's at. It starts with us and with God, and we want to be one in God. Christ is one in God, and we are one in Christ, and we're all one together. Job 8:13. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope, and that's the same as confidence, whose confidence shall be cut off, that means broken up, snapped, and whose trust or confidence shall be in spider's webs. So when your trust is not in God, it's in these spider webs, and you're being deceived, and they've weaved a web, so they've got to be broken off of you, so that you can think clearly and have the mind of Christ. Okay, Isaiah 14, verses 27 and 29. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who hath disannulled it, and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, ho Palestina, because the rod... And a rod is an offshoot, a tribe or a branch of him that smut, the one that attacks him, is broken. In other words, don't rejoice because it has been broken. It says, for out of the serpent's root, we've got to get to the root, shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery, flying serpent. So see, these things will go down the bloodline. If you have a sharp, fiery tongue, if you don't take care of it, your child is going to be worse, and your grandchildren are going to be worse. It's going to hatch out, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Sin does that all through the bloodline. And so it can go down from a sin of the father. Okay, how do we get these asps and adders and cockatrice? How do these spirits enter in? Okay, turn to Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. It said, he that diggeth, and that means explore, a pit, shall fall into it. And whosoever breaketh, it means break down, make a breach in, a hedge or a wall, a serpent shall bite him. Any time you mess with sin, or you give your, the hedge is torn down, and there's a little hole there, and when that little serpent sees it, it just slivers right in. So, in the womb, sharp words. The spirit of rejection comes on a child. Hurt, sorrow, abandonment, all kinds of things. If you get into sexual sins or alcoholism or whatever, then the hedge is brought down. You have a hole in the wall, and that serpent's going to sliver right in. That's how they enter. Maybe you've been prayed for rejection and abandonment and all these things. That's good. But these little serpents are still here in your throat. And when you pray for someone that has cockatrice spirits and asps and adders, There were, when I prayed for ladies with this, there's been knots, hard knots right here in their throat. And you just have to keep praying and finding and command them to come out until you don't feel those knots anymore in the throat. And then you know they're released. Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 26 through 33. Okay, it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait, as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men." Okay, that's a loose woman there. It says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling?" Same as complaint. Contentions is strife and discord. Woe is grief and despair. Have you been messing around in sexual sin? Have you got grief and despair? Have you got strife and discord? Do you complain? "Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Do you drink? They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed drinks." You see, all that comes out of an alcoholic spirit. But it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it is given his color in the cup, when it moveth itself a lot aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent." You see, these things, let that little serpent come in. And out of your hurt, out of your rejection sometimes, out of your anger, the wounded spirit, you'll let those asps and adders strike at people. And usually the person that's doing that to you has been very hurt and rejected and abused. The same way, there's a reason. And so you strike back and forth at each other. And these serpents and these adders are just having their way. It says, "At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things." You're going to utter those perverse things. You got sexual lust in your mind, and it causes you to cuss and to utter perverse things that you shouldn't utter. It's these snake spirits. It's the power behind the tongue. And even if you've been prayed for all these other things, there's a nest here that has to be dislodged. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. And to end with, before we pray, I went to Walmart not too long ago, and there was this poor man in front of me, and his hair was all messed up, and he had really messed up with his wife. And I looked on the counter, and this man, he had a six-pack of beer, and he had 12 red roses. And I thought, what is this man doing, you know? And I'm not saying the beer's good. I'm not saying that. But there's this man, and so he was talking to the clerk, and she said, you must be going to have a party or something. He said, he said, "It was my wife's birthday not too long ago," and he said, "I told her she was fat and bought her a treadmill," and he said, "Well, I better make it up to her and buy her these roses." You see what I'm saying? He got himself in bad shape, and he was trying to get it out in a worldly way. But he had said some sharp, mean things to his wife, and a treadmill was not exactly what she wanted after being called fat. You know? And she knew she was fat, you know? So, it wasn't you. No, it wasn't you. That's true. Okay. So anyway, I want you to think about the words you say and the things that are hidden under our tongue that need to be dislodged. And so I'm going to pray now. And I really think to have these dislodged that you really need someone to pray for you and for them to work it out of your throat. But I will pray as a group for these things, and then, you know, at another time, maybe in the prayer meetings in the morning, or another time, you know, Doc's here, Tom's here, I'm here, Glenn's here. We'd be glad to pray with you on this or anything else. Because the important thing, you've come to this camp to get releasement. And it's like I told the ladies, don't leave without getting it. It's like the lady when Christ was going down the road and she grabbed his garment. She pushed through that crowd to get what she needed. She did not stand back and let someone else get it. Virtue's going out of me. Where'd it come from? And he turned around. You get what you need while you're here. Don't leave the same person that you came. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for shining light on your word. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are the answer. I thank you that you sent your Son, Lord, to die for our sins, Lord. And God, I thank you that there is no sin too great, God, that you cannot take care of. And God, I thank you that you forgive our sin as far as the east is from the west, if we will only confess it and turn from it. And God, I just lift myself and I lift these people up to you now, God. And God, I just ask, Lord, that you deliver us, God, of anything and everything that we need delivered of at this camp meeting, God. I bind the spirit of Leviathan in all of us in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I command him to loose us and to let go of us, that we will not have the pride, that we cannot get the help we need, that we can humble ourselves and we can confess our sins, we can pray, and we can turn from our wicked ways, Lord, and you will heal us, Lord, because you say that you will in First Chronicles, that you will heal our land if we will do these things, God. Now, lift us up, Lord, to you. Now, I bind every power and principality in the heavens that would come against this prayer in the name of Jesus. I put wedges between every demonic force that would give help and to cause people not to get free in the name of Jesus. I bind now every cockatrice spirit. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I command it to loose these people and to loose their throats in the name of Jesus. I stir up that nest. I crush those cockatrice eggs. I crush them in the name of Jesus, and I command these spirits to come out of the throat and out of the neck and out from under the tongues in the name of Jesus. I command them to loose them. I bind every ass spirit that lies underneath the lips in the name of Jesus. I bind it. I bind it, and I command it to loose these people in Jesus' name. I bind every adder in the name of Jesus, and I command it to loose us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind every viper, every religious attitude, every haughty spirit, every spirit of pride, anything that would keep us from coming forth and being what we need to be in the Lord. I bind these spirits. I command them to loose us and to let us go and to set us free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pull down every spider web in our heads that keep us from thinking and knowing the things of God and having the discernment that we need in the name of Jesus. I pull those webs off of our head right now in Jesus' name. I pull all entanglements of the world and different things that are lodged in our body in the name of Jesus. I pull us from it in the name of Jesus. I pull that spider off of our head that has webbed that web in the name of Jesus. I pull it off and I destroy it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind every serpent and every tormenting spirit that would torment these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak forth pure thoughts. I speak forth pure words. I speak forth the goodness of God. I speak forth blessings from our mouth. I break every word curse that we have spoken against ourselves in the name of Jesus. I break those word curses right now in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break every word curse that we've spoken towards our spouse in the name of Jesus. I break it. I call it null and void. I break every word curse that we've spoken toward our children in the name of Jesus. Out of frustration in the name of Jesus, I break those word curses in Jesus' name. I break every word curse that we spoke against our parents in the name of Jesus. I break every word curse that we spoke against our mothers in the name of Jesus. Our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our great-great-grandmothers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break every word curse that we spoke towards our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, our great-great-grandfathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break the death curse that goes along with it. I break it. I break every physical death curse. I break every spiritual death curse. I break all the death curses that go along with our tongue in the name of Jesus. I break them. I break them. I call them null and void in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. I break all sorrow and strife and complaint and wounds in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it in the name of Jesus. God, I just ask, Lord, that you cleanse us and set us free, God. Set us free in the name of Jesus. 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 And, Lord, now I just ask, God, that you continue to deliver us, Lord. Continue your deliverance in the name of Jesus. And I ask, God, that you fill us, Lord. You fill us with your joy and with your freedom and with your love, God, to go forth and to speak, Lord, and to do, God, the things that you desire us to do, and to walk, God, in your statutes, Lord, and to be one with you, Lord. I just speak that forth in our lives, God. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, from our heads to our toes with your Holy Spirit. Saturate us with it, Lord. Saturate us, Lord. Saturate us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name I pray. I bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation off of us, off of our children, off of our households, off of everything you've put us in charge of, Lord, while we're at this camp meeting, God. I bind the spirit of nemesis that it cannot bother us or harm us or our children or anything you put us in charge of in any way, God. We place ourselves in your hands, God, and we just ask, Lord, that you lead us forward, God, into your ways and help us, God. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. And that's all I've got. And I pray the blessings of God over you. And if you need more prayer, men seek out a man to help you. And women, us women will pray for us. And God bless you.
What she has been saying, especially about what happens in the womb. I was on a mission trip to Chile. I'm a counselor. And I was on a short mission trip to Chile a few years ago. And I had my first experience in actually seeing, experiencing the transfer of spirit in the womb. I was resting one afternoon, and I heard loud screams in the hallway. I went out, and I found their teenage daughter was running up and down the hallway, clutching her hair, and just screaming and screaming. I quieted her down, but of course I didn't speak Spanish, and so I couldn't go much further. And so I asked for an interpreter, and they came, and she told me that every time they had an earthquake tremor in Chile, that she became frightened and began to scream. Since Chile has probably more earthquake tremors than most nations, she was becoming more and more of a problem and was headed for an institution. So I said to the interpreter, we're going to have a session with her and see if we can find the root. Go for the root. See if we can find the root of this fear. And I asked her mother to come along with us so that she would know that that strange woman from America wasn't doing something strange with her daughter. So the mother and the interpreter and I had a session, and I was asking the girl, how long have you been conscious of this spirit of fear that is within you? And she said, as long as I can remember, that even as when she was first getting to school or even on the playground, that whenever there was this tremor, that she had this fear, but it was getting worse and worse. At first she just shook, but now she was screaming and pulling her hair. And as she talked, all of a sudden the mother spoke up and she said, I remember. She said, when I was carrying her in the 8th month, she said, I was in bed and we had an earthquake tremor. And she said, I suddenly found myself in the living room just trembling with fear. And she says, I clutched my belly. She says, it was stone hard. There wasn't a movement in it. It was like stone. She said, it stayed like stone for 12 hours. She said, and the next day, it began to move again. And she said, and then the baby was born just a few weeks later. And so I said, okay, we're going to take care of this. So they embraced one another so that they would be close as possible. And we rebuked and cast out, did some other investigations, but got rid of that spirit of fear, and their lives have been transformed. That girl is now on a praise team. They're traveling all over Chile. And the mother has become one of the first Chilean pastors. In Chile, you don't find many women. who are preachers, but she's a pastor in Chile, and has gotten relief from the spirit of fear. But, so I just wanted you to know that she's right on target.